CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023, the debt deal. It's in train, headed to the Senate vote. Lots of maneuvering and process, but what we have right now is a compromise between the president's ambition for a clean bill, meaning no changes, and the Republican majority in the House's ambition to make as many cuts as possible, reductions, because of the overspending of the federal government and the deficit. I welcome Veronique de Regis of the Mercatus Center, who's been my guide and critic of the debt deal these last weeks. I'm expecting her not to like this deal. Nobody does. But then again, are there positives? Veronique, a very good evening to you. I understand this is not dealing with the big problem, which is the entitlements. It is dealing with around the margins, the IRS or work rules or in some instances COVID money that's left over. What do you make of what was rendered by the president and Mr. McCarthy? Is this a positive? Good evening to you.
Good evening. This is a bill that allows both sides to claim victory. It's going to be hard to swallow for some Republicans, and some of them are trying to kind of to make people believe that this is, you know, this is this incredible homework and that it's like the largest deficit reduction package in American history, I've heard. But it's not that. It's just it's a marginal improvement. It's so small that it barely counts, but it allows them to have a deal, increase the debt ceiling. What worries me about it is that it was such a laborious negotiation, even though not that much when you think about it, because it really only lasted, 3 weeks, 2 weeks? When did the president come to the table? 2 weeks ago? But that now they think they've done it all, and they named their bill the Fiscal Responsibility Act. And so they must be done, was actually thinking about fiscal responsibility when this is nothing in the grand scheme of what needs to be done.
Without touching Social Security or Medicare, writes the Wall Street Journal. Why? They want to make that a political point. What does that mean, not touching entitlements? What does that mean about the future?
Well, we know already that if Congress does nothing in 2023, Social Security benefits will, by law, be cut by over 20%. What's also very likely is they're going to end up doing something about Medicare and Social Security by the to avoid these big cuts. For Medicare, the cuts would be a year before of 11% or so. But so they're going to be doing something, and the something is likely going to be transferring more money from general revenue to the trust fund. But because there's no more money in general revenue, they're going to be borrowing the money. And according to CBO, that means a transfer, basically having to borrow in the next 30 years, $114 trillion. That's what it means. $114 trillion is close to four times what we've borrowed in the entire history of the U.S. And I don't know who's going to be lending us this money.
The report here says this will reduce deficits by over $1.5 trillion over a decade. That isn't very much compared to $114 trillion.
Considering we've had at least $1.5 trillion deficit this year alone, right? I mean, it's going to be extremely minor, and that is making all sorts of assumptions about interest on the debt staying at the same level. It's making all sorts of assumptions. I think it's just a drop in the bucket. We can be happy about some of the aspects of the deal, like making progress on permitting reform, making some progress on work requirements, even though I've read some reports that while they've gotten some work requirements for food stamps, they also are increasing the number of people who are getting food stamps. So I'm not exactly sure on net how that works, but And there's less money for the IRS and things like this. But it's there's so many caveats. For instance, like they all the caps that they have there, which are very it's unclear, you know, what they apply to. But there are so many caveats. For instance, if something is declared an emergency, which has been something that's been profoundly abused the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, that's of the cap. So, you know, it just it's minor.
We go to Paris briefly because your Creator Syndicate piece addresses Emmanuel Macron as a thespian, a theatrical politician. I believe in general what he's done is suggest that short flights inside France are to be discouraged and people are urged to take the railroad. Why did he do this?
Well, it's a climate theater, but it's not discouraged. They're banned. Like if you could take the train and the train ride would be 2.5 hours or less, you are not allowed to fly. So basically, they want to ban all the flight that would qualify for this. It's a minimal amount, especially because there too there are a lot of caveats, right? It's like, for instance, Paris has two major airports: Charles de Gaulle, Roissy. Well, all the flights that would qualify for the ban from Orly, but not the one from Charles de Gaulle, which is the biggest airport. The other thing we find is that the flights from Orly that would be banned actually haven't been operating for several years. So really, it's minor. It's absolutely minor. But it's theater because it allows the president to say, look at what we're doing. Is going to be, I'm sure he's going to be applauded at the next G7 meeting when they're having cocktails and say, you know, how great you are for this planet. But it's theater.
And you say in your article that not only is he banning, I had it wrong, not discouraged, banning air traffic within these certain limits, it encourages automobile traffic, which is not efficient, which is burning fossil fuel and dangerous.
Well, so he's hoping that people are going to take the train. But of course, we don't know who's going to decide to take the train or who is going to decide to drive. And of course, considering how often trains are on strike and how, especially in the summer, for instance, they're always, newspapers are always full of stories about how people buy tickets, those tickets are canceled, or you get there and there's no seats. I mean, it's the train in France, they may be fast, but it's a nightmare. And you really never know if they're going to be late or if they're even going to run. So a lot of people are going to decide to drive. The driving itself, increasing pollution. And then, of course, there's the risk of death. I mean, driving is pretty dangerous, certainly much, much more dangerous than flying.
Veronique, just 10 seconds. 2 years from now, will we go through this debt dance one more time?
Yes.
Okay.
We will.
2 years to go.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.